So we find ourselves back in the book of James, chapter 3, reading the first 12 verses. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And talking on the topic of living faith, producing self-control in our speech. And as you recall, we read those 12 verses the last time. And 12 verses is a rather long passage. Why did we read all of those 12 verses? It's because they're all so intricately connected. They're statements, illustrations, again, statements, but they all lead to one large topic mentioned in those first 12 verses of chapter 3. And what is that topic? Self-control in our speech that James is addressing. James demands self-control in our speech, and you can see that in verse 12. Verse 10, actually, of that third chapter, but also highlights that it's not possible with human power. And if we take a step back, recall that the entire book of James is addressing living faith and its production of actions and behaviors. It's not just a word, it's not just a thought or a feeling, but it produces real actions and behaviors. And that's what we learned and studied in the first two chapters. And now, finally, in this third chapter, we address the speech of human beings and how our speech ought to be self-controlled. So remember last time we briefly scanned through the entire 12 verses of that third chapter, and under the general or the big heading of living faith producing self-control in our speech, we focused on the very first verse and talked about the common need for self-control in our speech, especially for teachers. Recall that that first verse specifically focuses on teachers, yet we talked about that it's a common need. It's a need for all of us, common to all of us, not just the teachers. Why? Because we looked at a number of other verses, and actually there's 8 verses in the 5 chapters of the book of James where the tongue and speech is mentioned, and in all of those, including the verses that we'll read today, from the context, you can see that all believers are being addressed, not the teachers. So that's what we did last time. Today, we will focus on this common problem that we are all facing that James is going to describe for us before he launches in and addresses how to deal with speech and the tongue. So with that, let's go ahead and read the 12 verses of chapter 3 of James. It says the following: "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no springs yields both salt water and fresh." So in that passage that deals with self-control and deals with speech, or with a tongue, as James is coining here, today we will focus and look at verses 2 through 4. That identify the common problem we all face. Why common? Because it's common to all of us, as we will see. And what is that problem? As we will see, it's an out-of-control tongue. So from this passage, I want us to highlight 4 points that in my preparation I identified, and in looking at a number of commentaries, a number of other theologians have written about. 4 points that I briefly want to run through, recognizing that there could be many, many more. So as we look at verses 2-4, first point is I want us to recognize that we have a continuous propensity to fall. We have a problem. What is the problem? If you reread verse 2, it says the following: for we all stumble in many things. So first is recognize. Recognize what? Recognize that it says over there, we all. The word all is used in all of our Bibles, meaning everyone. Not just teachers, as we briefly touched upon, but all. Who's James writing to? He's writing to the believers that are scattered abroad. Also, if you look at Proverbs, for example, 29, it says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? No one. No one can say that they don't sin. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. So the problem I want us to recognize is that all have stumbled in many things. All have stumbled. What does the word stumble mean? Stumble is not meaning that there is a fatal fall. If there was a fatal fall, it would specifically say, James would tell us that there is a fatal fall. But for stumbling, as I looked it up in a dictionary, it's defined as losing a footing. So the picture that James is describing to us is a foot striking against some sort of an optical obstacle and a person falling over. So the first item that I want us to take away is that we all are stumbling or falling or tripping where in many things, as it says here. James is pointing out to us that even in the Christian walk, all stumble in many things, as it says here. And if you read on this second verse of chapter 3, it says, if anyone does not stumble in word. So James is then tying the stumbling everywhere. He's tying it to our words, tying it to our tongue. And he will expand on this topic in the future verses. So the first point I want us to recognize is that we all stumble in many things, including the speech and the words that we use. That's what is coming out from the second verse. Second is, James is telling us to remember to strive to consistently towards personal holiness. So he's telling us, remember to strive, work towards personal holiness. Now, where do I get that, you might ask? Well, again, if you look at the second verse, it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, and it goes on. So you have to ask yourself a question. In order to stumble, doesn't a person have to be walking? Yes, the person does have to be walking. So it's intuitive to assume that you only fall or you only stumble if effort is exerted and you're actually doing something, as in walking. So similar here, if you translate it into the spiritual manner, he's calling us to strive towards walking in holiness. And the whole passage, as we already discussed, is focused on speech, on controlling the speech. He is calling us to walk in holiness, especially with regards to the words you use and the speech that you use in your daily life. And so as an example, I want you to maybe think of an event or an occurrence that you find yourself perhaps in a group of folks, a company that you haven't been previously much to, and as you listen to them speak, have you ever found yourself just cringing at the words that are being utilized? Perhaps foul language or other things? You know, recently we went to see a film, and I had a lot of respect for this one actor. I thought he was incredibly funny. And then halfway through the film, or actually before that, just the language was ridiculously foul, and it was making me realize, geez, that should not be having such high regard for this actor or such films in the first place. So again, the point here is that if you find yourself in that situation where you realize this is not the right words that are being utilized, that's good, because you are, it demonstrates that you're striving towards using better words, holy words, words that are not foul, as is described in the scripture. So again, the second point that I want us to highlight here is that remember to strive towards constantly pursuing holiness in your walk, including in your words, and especially in your words, because James is going to address that more and more. So first, recognize that we all stumble in many ways. Second, remember to strive towards holiness. And three, what James is also pointing out to us in the second verse is that the result of self-control and speech is actually control of the rest of the body. Again, if you read verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So before going on and launching in and providing other evidence regarding the tongue, the takeaway of that specific verse is, as it says here, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is able to bridle or to control the whole body. So the third item I want to point out for us is the result of truly controlling the tongue. And we already discussed that no man can do it by their own power. Only we can do it through Christ and the Holy Spirit is self-control of the entire body and the whole person. And then lastly, fourth item I want us to highlight in these verses 2 through 4, is that in verses 3 through 4, James provides an illustration reminding us that tongue and speech is, at the end of the day, traced back to obedience. It is all about obedience. So if you read again verses 3 and 4, he provides an illustration, one, of someone controlling a horse, and two, someone controlling a ship. So let's just quickly read those verses again. Verse 3 says, "Indeed, we put bits into horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." We'll stop right there before reading other verses. So oftentimes when those verses are read in the context of talking about the tongue, the emphasis is made that that little metal thing that's put into horses' mouths, that's called a bit, is controlling the entire horse. Similarly, a literal rudder is controlling a huge and a gigantic ship. And similarly, then, a statement and a parallel is made that a tongue, also a small member, is controlling and directing the entire body. And while that it is true, and James addresses us, the even larger point that we cannot miss, and I want to make sure that we don't miss here, is that the bit by itself and the rudder by itself do not control the horse or the ship. The point that James is making here is that there is someone behind the bit on a horse and behind the rudder that further controls those two things. Again, if you reread verse 3, it says, "We put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us." The point, the broader and the bigger picture that he's drawing is that there is a man, a horse, who sits on a horse that puts a bit into its mouth. And the bit controls the horse, but the rider controls the bit. He's the one that's pulling and directing it. Similar, also, verse 4, look also at the ships, it says, "Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder." So again, he mentions the small controlling element, yet in the next phrase he says, "wherever the pilot desires." So the big takeaway here is that it is the pilot who, through the rudder, is controlling the ship. And it is also the horse rider who is, through the bit, controlling the entire animal. And similar, if we are obedient to God, and if God is the ruler of our lives, it is God who is going to be controlling our tongue, and conversely, through that, the entire body. And the converse of that is true. If our tongue is not controlled by God, he's controlled by the other master, and then our entire body is also under control of the other master as well. So that's what I wanted to highlight for us today this common problem that we face, to recognize that all of us stumble in many ways and in many things, to remember that we are to strive continuously towards holy living, especially in our speech. Also to remember that the results of controlling the speech only through the power of the Holy Spirit is self-control in its entirety, and see this reminder through an illustration that it is obedience to God that will allow us to do that. So next time we will look and focus on the characteristics of the uncontrolled tongue, as James will expand more on it, and then in the future, how to deal with it. Amen.